Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
What an introduction. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not John, it's the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that, it in a way sets it jump starts me for this morning, as you will know why as we go on sharing. Hallelujah. Again, please clap for our worship team. These guys, really, this small team loves Jesus, and they give. Yesterday, we were with them at the studio where they practice from, and it was a great, great time. When I say we were with them, it was just me and Pastor and the entire team there, and it was a great worship session. And I kept on wondering how they are going to do it this morning, because after that, I think I asked Teddy, so what are the plans for tomorrow? She told me we are going to go. We're just going to be free. Yeah. Just like we did today. We are going to just go live. So I'm like, hey, but at least we should have something. Then she's like, yeah, of course we have the song list. So I want to thank you, worship team, this morning for that. It was wonderful. It was good. Hallelujah. But yesterday was even much better. Glory to God. It's amazing. We didn't have so many instruments. Drums were not there, but it was a great session. All these things, it wasn't so much when like a small space we were. We had one fan, but we people were seated down. Yeah, but it was. It was good. Glory to God. It was good. So thank you so much. And also, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your giving. Because you give, it is the reason why we have the ministries in LAT running. So thank you for giving. When you give, we are able to worship. When you give, we are able to pay rent. When you give, we are able to do so many things. And thank you so, so much. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, so this morning I just want to share about something that God put on my heart last week on Sunday. As we were singing that song, Be Lifted, God Be Lifted. Above all other things, we lay our crowns. So as I sat behind there, it just dawned on me that sometimes we don't even know when you walk to a child of God and you ask them, so what is your crown? What are you laying down? It's so amazing that the answer may not come as quickly as you think, yeah? Because people think that a crown may be, and truly, a crown is an accolade, yeah? Like Bakutiki Day, you must have achieved something big in life, and now God is telling you, lay that down. That is not wrong, that is right. But also, the crown has your rewards, your blessings, at least according to the Bible, yeah? It has your rewards and your blessings. And when we say we lay down our crowns, if you feel, you enter a church and you feel like you're a loser, you didn't achieve anything, at least you know that you have a blessing. You know that you have a reward. And that is what you put before God. So when we're singing that day, I just kept on telling God, I'm putting down my blessing. Like I'm just putting it down. I didn't know that God was preparing me for this morning. So today we're going to look at turning blessings into idols. Turning our blessings into idols. Why does God detest idolatry? Many times when you talk about idolatry right now in Kampala, Wetuli, people will think about a deliverance session very quickly. They're like, that church man, yeah? They will think these are things that maybe certain types of churches deal with. You can look at a church and maybe how prosperous it is in terms of it has a big building, the lights, a great choir, and you cannot even imagine that there is a lot of idolatry in that church. You can look at someone who can be blessed And you can't imagine that they have idolatry. It is very possible that you're blessed, but you turn the blessing into an idol. And as we shall see that in the Old Testament, the very first two commandments that God gave the Israelites concerned idolatry. In the New Testament, when Jesus is giving us the new instruction, he touches on the new commandment, he touches on idolatry. So I felt that as a church, and you see, everybody is susceptible to idolatry. If you have never done it in your life, come and teach us how you have never done it. But I know for sure that, you know, when you look at the history of Israel, there's so many times I lost count when I was doing the research of the kings who practiced idolatry. Okay? People who started out well, but along the way, idolatry came in. That blessing, so to speak, turned into a curse to them. And they ended badly. So I was like, God, you have blessed LAT. What is it? You told us to remember the lessons. Not to forget the lessons we learned last year. But what is it now about this blessing? And God very quickly reminded me that, by the way, the blessings can easily turn into idolatry. And this morning, I just want us to look at the Old Testament, some bits of the Old Testament, and to remind ourselves. Maybe we have done this thing. You know, when someone says, I think I was telling Sam, that I described, we're just having, since we're not having marriage fellowship, I can go out on a limb on this one. So I was telling him something he had done and how I interpreted that. So he's there, he's busy. Sam, we are just having, you know, a chat with your, you know, with your friend. So I'm like, oh, you know, when you did this, this is how I felt. Ah, man, Sam jumped up and said, what? No. Why? Because I had told him exactly, I think I used a big word. And in him, he's like, me? There's just no way I can be doing such a thing. And that is how, sometimes when you think about idolatry, you're like, mze, I bow down to another idol. Like, how? It's not even possible. Why? Because you cannot even quite relate that what you're doing is just that. It's idolatry. And just like Sam in that moment, then I told him, no. I didn't mean that when you are doing it, you intended to hurt me. But this is actually this is how I construed it. This is how it affected me. Then I told him, now, supposing someone came and told you that person X has done this to person Y, would that be more palatable to you? Would that be more acceptable to your ears? And he said, of course, Bobby Jabin, Bobby Cola, yeah? The things happen every. But because he's the one on the spot, he's like, me? There's just no way. And I couldn't blame him because his intentions were what? They are pure, okay? So sometimes that is how we start out with a blessing. Glory to God. Marriage fellowship summarized. Glory to God. Amen. So many times, even with the things of God, with the blessings of God, it is so possible to idolize them. It is so possible. And it is such a small line. For us who are in ministry, it could be even a gift. You see, for you to idolize, because idols in our day-to-day sometimes start out as something good. It is not bad. These things are not bad, by the way. So I'm not talking about someone waking up in the morning and intentionally entering a shrine. You LAT members, you will not do that. If you're here in LAT and you even know some culture, like that shrine I will not go to. So I thank God that I'm talking to people who will not even do that. Glory to God. I bless God for all of you that you will not do that. But let me tell you something that you and I are most likely to do. That these blessings here, we can create like several shrines around ourselves. And God wants us to be very aware, very, very aware of that. Idols, like I said, they could be God has given you success. God has given you, sometimes God has given you a good, let's just look at like, say he has blessed you and he has sent you on a trip, a holiday to Maldives, It's something that you had always wanted, believed God for, and zoe, he gives it to you. Mm-hmm. It could be, Pastor is asking somewhere Maldives is. It could be, trust me, you don't go in a Lamborghini to Maldives. So, that's why I'm saying Lamborghini. He had missed the joke. So anyway, so God can give you a car, a house, a job. Do you know that God is a giver of good things. God can give you beauty. Glory to God. Children. God can give you favor. A marriage. All those things that, the things that you believe in God for. Success at your workplace. Promotions. Okay? God can give you all those things. But those very things, those very blessings can be the beginning of your downfall. And God doesn't want that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. So we are all susceptible to idolatry. We can easily worship the blessings that we have. And let's go to Exodus, where God gave the Israelites the commandment about idolatry. He says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Let us go to, when he says verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." This is what I discovered. This is where I think learning with my daughter has really helped me. When the Bible says, or when you hear the word before you, before, the word before, there are two meanings of that word. Or they can be understood in two ways. That word can be understood in two ways. The first way is that something is in front of you. Before me is this pulpit. All right? Grace Joy. Crazy. Before me is this pulpit. So that is one way. God is saying, you shall not bring in front of him any other God. But also, in the same way, this pulpit is in my sight. Glory to God. Tulivena. Hallelujah. So, this pulpit is in my sight. So when you see that, so the pulpit is in front of me, but it is also in my sight. So I can say that the pulpit is before me. So when God is telling the Israelites that you shall not have other gods before me, he means in front of me, literally like putting something as number one before him. But also he is saying, you will not have other gods in my sight. That means that it is not even okay to have God number two. After you have sorted out like God is the first one, then you're like, but even this other small one can work. God doesn't want that. In here, he meant he wanted to be the only God. The only God that when you go before him, it's just him and you. And he is your only God. Glory to God. He is your only God. So we've understood this commandment. You will not have any God before him in order of number. Like there is no one that should be in front of God. But there shouldn't be anyone in the sight of God. Glory to God. So, when I read that, I understood then that, you know what? Then this thing of idolatry is such, and God detests it so, so much. Why would it be the first thing he is telling the children of Israel after they have crossed the Red Sea at Mount Sinai? Why? Okay? After they have seen his mighty arm, I remembered Bob Jones and another lady, Anna Rountree. Bob Jones, when he died, in his vision, what God allowed him to see, he saw people going to hell with things that they had held as gods, yeah? They were wrapped in those things. God told Anna Rountree, Anna is a lady who ministered before God, and God allowed her to have so many visions, deep visions. And then God told her one time that, you know what, she had turned. You know, because she used to see so many things in the spirit, she had the gift, very prophetic gift of visions. What she would see visions, yeah? There's nothing like gift of visions, but she used to see visions. She was so strongly used in the prophetic. And now, do you know what she started to do? She started to crave more and more knowledge of the spirit, more than actually God himself, the creator. And it is possible. It is possible for you to crave even that very good thing. Like I said, that idols sometimes are not bad things. Like, they don't start out as bad. They start out as good things, but we make them the God thing to be worshipped. We make them the ultimate things to be worshipped. We worship what God has given us, what the Creator has created. And so God tells Anna Rountree that she had made her desire and quest for spiritual knowledge into an idol. You know, it wasn't cars, it wasn't beauty, it wasn't all this, it wasn't a man. God was telling her, now this thing that I've given you, you have made it an idol. You're on this thing. It is possible for you to be blessed, worship team, yeah, with your gifting and what. And it's good to want it to be better and to pursue it and what. But when you get to a point where it becomes the ultimate, manyamukamo womujeo, where that good thing becomes the God thing that you worship, mukamo womujeo. It is the same with us. Other people who are in this church, not just the worship team. So God doesn't want us to bring anything, to make anything an idol. And you see, idolatry begins in the heart. Let's go to Ezekiel 14, verses 3. Ezekiel 14, verses 3. It says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. It wasn't in their room at home, Samka room at home. Here it says, Son of man, God is telling Ezekiel, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put them before that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Look at where this idol was. It was in the heart. So you and I, Eleti, you can have an idol in the heart, in your heart. It is a heart matter. Glory to God. It is a heart matter. You may not go by have a karoom. You may not go and chant things. It is here. The Bible tells us that where does God dwell? In your heart. So the idol is going to be where, if it takes the place of God, it will be where God dwells, in your heart. That is where it starts from. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Where is covetousness? Here. In your heart. In your heart. And you can so easily turn the blessing into an idol. Glory to God. Amen. So, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, of course, for them, they made gods. They made gods. And you're going to see that. You're going to see where the heart issue comes from. So, they made God. They made small gods or idols, physical idols, carved images, after specific things. And those things were things that were appealing to them in their hearts. For example, I'll give an example. They made the god of Baal, the small god Baal. That god was a god in charge of prosperity and wealth, materialism, basically. You needed success? Baal. You needed to prosper? Baal. You needed wealth of some kind? Baal. So the wealth, it was an issue of the heart. And also because, you see, these images will not require a certain standard of conduct, or they would not require a certain standard of conduct just as God required the Israelites to be. Okay? The God of reproduction, I'll put it that way, yeah? Because man. I don't want questions. The God of reproduction, Astoresh, or Ath, or Ash, whatever, that one. S and T together, a problem. But you know that God, okay? Then they had the God of the weather for people, because it was a largely agricultural society. They needed harvests. So there were gods that they would pray to, the God of the weather, to give them good harvests. Yeah. But why, that now was really a trust issue, because God had said that he would provide for them all these things. God had by then proved that he can provide all these things. But they're like, we want more. We want to be like the heathens who are prospering in that way. So they started having these idols. Another thing that I seem to see in that is so perverse right now, yeah? There are so many idols, but as I talk about them, just look into your heart and ask yourself, Chichicho, yeah? God can give you a job. And if you want to know, let me just go to the script. How do you know that you're committing idolatry? Because people will say, Joe, now you are preaching about me. But how do you know that you are committing, or you're going to start committing idolatry? Let's say you're about to start committing idolatry. Now, God will bless you with something, but I watch that you don't start neglecting the disciplines that you once held so dear that would keep you in fellowship with the Lord. Bible study. You know, these are very small things, but there are people who wake up in the morning, yeah? And instead of thinking about God, the first thing they do is reach out for their phones. You wake up and the very first thing is to reach out for the phone to see, yeah, who posted, about who, you know? There are people who are, then there are people, for me, I even wonder, I post a verse at night on my status. As far as I'm concerned, and that is social media, please. So I post something on my status at night before I go to bed, because maybe it has blessed me. At 6, I find a response in my chat. I'm like, nah, yeah, way. Like, you woke up and you went to my status at 6. Yeah? At 6, you went to my, which I posted at night. So for me, it shows that you were checking. You are reading, yeah? And I'm not saying you shouldn't read the statuses, but ladies and gentlemen, 6 o'clock is a bit too early, all right? So you go and you read, and you respond at 6 a.m. So when you start neglecting the small, small things that you used to do when you are having fellowship with God, that is the beginning of issues. That should show you where this thing is heading. Now, God has blessed you with a job. And on the contrary, by the way, suffering does the opposite. When you are suffering, by now you had time to pray. You had time for, when you were suffering, you didn't have a job. At 6, the saga na teka kosimu, you even remove the battery. It's not enough that the phone is off. You even remove the battery. Like, I have to seek God. I have to seek God. Then the job comes. At 6, you're thinking, I'm going to wear what? Like, you are just, your mind, before you know it, the whole day is gone. The whole day is gone. You have not spent time with the Lord. There are other things. Fasting. Glory to God. Did you know that today there is a God of health? A small God. People idolize health. People idolize health. God said that when we worship him, His blessing will be on our food and our water, and he will heal all our diseases, and he will keep us in perfect health. So you could be that God has given you good health. Bulivoita. There is a guy that I know who is about like 60 years, over 60 years old, Stephen Langer. He is 60 years, over 60 years old. Because when Mr. Stephen Langer was counseling us with Sam, that is over 15 years ago, he was 60. Over something like 40-something, now he's 60. But when you look at him, the guy, man, he looks young, like he looks half his age. He, and I'm like, and he knows that about himself. So it's, And it's good to know it. And God has really blessed him, yeah, that he doesn't look old and weather-beaten and all those things. He's aging gracefully. I've remembered. He's aging gracefully, yeah. But there are people right now, even children of God, even men of God, who are so much into this whole health thing that it is all they think about. So such a person, instead of praying and fasting, they'll be there checking how many calories to eat, which foods have calories, which ones don't have calories. I have to get back in shape. I was so shocked when I saw a man of God, supposedly or allegedly a man of God, posting pictures of his workout. Why are you laughing, bro? Posting pictures of his what? Of his, a man of God. You put a musumba. If Bruce posts his, workout pictures, that's a different story, yeah? But now this man of God, started posting. You know, it was a video. I'm like, hey, this guy. I'm like, and you know, the muscle, so you could really see that that video was not taken using a phone. It was taken using a proper, you know, camera and video and recording thing. And the guy is there sweating. What? I'm like, hey, yeah. But man of God, eh? Oh, allegedly, like, are you really? So I'm like, cutting now after that, if God calls you into a fast, eh? How are you going to fast when you have been working out like that? And, you know, so I was like, eh, these things are not bad. But then, of course, I realized, I even met him, I think, this week somewhere. And man, the things you, the things the person was wearing, yeah? Man, they died. The shirt was tight, almost red. You know, you could see like the thread of the shirt. Like, even when I was passing, say, hello. I'm like, man, everything was tight. I'm like, you see, when you start such things, be very, very, very careful. There are people I know, according to Bob Jones, who will go to hell wrapped in gym equipment. Yeah? Or wrapped in some twigs and greens and lettuce, because that's what they were, you know, that is what they highly, what? Esteemed, yeah? Just like the people who be wrapped in pork, yeah? But they, if they esteem those things, they'll be wrapped in some car bacon there. So, yes, and you see, idolatry will take you to hell. I am telling you, eventually. And I'll tell you for a fact that when you look at those areas in your life, that is where you're most likely going to compromise. That thing that God blessed you with. And I'm like, how come these blessings seem to have two sides? That very thing that God blessed you with may be the exact same thing that you compromise on. And that is when people will say, "Na yemu kama yamu wabuli chintu, kati yali anonyachi." You know, you've had, like, some people, whatever, salvation, they denounce their salvation, and you wonder, but you had it all. You had everything. You had the cars. What happened? And when you look into their lives, actually, it could have started from the desire for more of that which they have. And then that place takes the place of God. And you know what? They will end up going to hell wrapped in that very thing. They are prophesying, but my friend, they are going to hell in anger. They are prophesying. Yeah? Yes, you can go to hell with that gift. So the things, those small things, the things that you used to do for fellowship with God, when you start to neglect them because you're so busy, because now you have to go and play golf, you know, it could be that God has given you favor before people. It's a great blessing, okay? And he has promoted you. You have this job that promoted you. So you speak to the mighty of the land. And those mighty of the land play golf at a certain time. They play golf from Monday to Sunday. They have tournaments in in Windhoek, Namibia. They have tournaments where? In South Africa. Maldives. Maybe that would be swimming. So they have tournaments in these places. And let me tell you, before you know it, you're hooked up onto that thing and you're thinking, Sunday service. You know what? I'll watch Joyce Meyer while I'm playing. You know, I don't know of any person who has so much material out there like Joyce Meyer. So she even when you're in the gym, she has some thing there for you as you're walking on the treadmill. Eh? So, because, yeah, I'll catch Joyce Meyer's what. And before you know it, by the way, you have gone. There is no turning back. God bless you with favor. People will start calling you. Yeah, come. Tournament in South Africa. I'll pay for you. Tournament in Namibia. Up in Zimbabwe. I'll pay for you. Man, before you know it, you have completely taken God out of this thing. So that blessing, you don't want it to be a curse. You don't want that blessing to be a curse. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. You know, one of the songs that I absolutely love is, I will serve no foreign god. Not just that, but any other treasures. It's not just another god, a god in front of, but any other treasures. Ebintu byensi, you people. If you look at those things and don't esteem them so highly. Don't, even if it is your job, even if it is your family, I'm not saying that love your family less or love your spouse less, but love God more. Glory to God. When you're working, when God has given you that job, when God has promoted you, God has given you the money, please, please hold it so loosely. Biansi, yeah? They say, Biansi biya kuleka. And the other... Yes, Mutesgensi. Yeah, I have a friend called that name. That's why Pastor is reminding me. And that friend of mine, Mutesgensi, has a cousin called Tutesgensi. So, yes, there's Mutesgensi, there is Tutesgensi, Tutwaisgensi. I don't know. Simanyi, yeah? But the point is, hold the things of this world loosely. And they are so appealing, you people. That's why I'm saying that there is nobody that is above reproach. They are so appealing. Even to us who are in ministry, it is, God tells you you're going to have this magnificent church. And I have seen people can be so concerned about maintaining the system, the organism, the structure, and they take God out of it. So, let's hold the things of this world so loosely. Ebien sinom shenyi, Dennis. The things of this world are sand. They are sinking sand. Ebien sinom shenyi. Then, how else do you know that you're committing idolatry or you're about to commit idolatry? You begin to neglect the relationships in the body of Christ. All of a sudden, the sisters and brothers become boring. Yes, they're like, "Nayenze nebi aimba sibitegeera." Nebi abulira, by the way, they are not channeling a certain. But also because you know that in the body of Christ, we are held accountable. So when you're beginning to idolize things, someone will tell you, "Nayegwe bintu yokola." You don't want to be called out. You feel more at home with the people out there who, with the heathen, because they do not know. They won't even. Some of them don't even know that you're born again. So you start to neglect meeting with. You never underestimate, by the way, a service like this, the impact it has on you. You may come here to church and never talk to anyone and go. That is the primary level. Like, of course, when you come to church, talk to someone, say hello, how are you? My name is so and so. But even if you don't do that, never underestimate the anointing and the things that you get from meeting with believers. So the day you start to feel like Nze fellowship season mwezimbo anokumbo wae. Let me tell you something. Check in your heart. What is taking that place of meeting with believers? Hebrews 10:25. The Bible tells us here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These days, they are evil. These days are evil. Sometimes people want to meet a perfect congregation, a perfect pastor, a perfect everything. But for you, your boss at work is not perfect, but you keep showing up. But when your pastor, when the music is not perfect, you're like, see, Jakudai, I'm not going back there. They didn't sing the right note. But you went back to your boss who belittled you, who threatened that they are going to fire you. The next day you woke up, put on your suit, and walked right in there and served and went out. But you want a perfect worship team. You want a perfect church, a perfect pastor. Mutusabire that we be that perfect. But in case we are not, Banange, treat us like the way you treat your workplaces. Show up. Glory to God. Show up. Yeah. Glory to God. Show up in church. We call you for a prayer meeting. Show up. We call you for marriage fellowship. Show up. Yeah. Glory to God. Don't only decide on Sunday, I'll just listen to the sermon Zimmala. The days are evil. We need one another. We cannot forsake such meetings. But when they say Rotary, oh, locally, you're the first one there. When they say Cancer Run, you're like, ah, Pastor the other time said Cancer Run. Huh? Sunday, ah, but Jakunkwata. This one starts on Friday. I'll go for the Friday one. See, sweet, sweet. So, please, do not forsake the meeting of your fellow brethren. The days are evil. We need each other. We need to count ourselves. We need to hold ourselves accountable. You just never know what you're getting from here. Glory to God. Then another thing that, how do you know if you're committing idolatry? I knew it was going to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I knew even when I was preparing an idolatry. Yeah. So, look at how you're spending your money. Hallelujah. What do you spend your money on, Molokole? The money that you come here and testify about. What do you spend your money on? Everyone has a relationship with money, whether you want it or not. Everyone has a relationship with money. Money can be your God. If you're committing, or which God you're trying to replace, look at the thing that is taking the most of your money. Look at that thing. Then you will know. You'll know that, Nedda. Okay? If it is not God, it is something else. It is, what do we spend our money on? Cars, family things, what? And all those things, again, like we said, they are not bad things. But when you exalt them above what they actually should be, above, and you put them before God, you're going to have an issue. Money, like my husband and I believe, money talks. Money talks. Money has a voice. Money can decide for you how to use it. Glory to God. A man can tell you, I'm little, don't give me away. Yes. Man can tell you, I'm a lot, so I want now you to go and spend me in Maldives. And those things are not bad. They are not bad. But if they become the ultimate thing, nga for you, bwechibate chiri musente, you'll not attend it. You know the people who are like that? If there is no way of profiting financially, they don't go there. And some of you, by the way, you even lost friends because of your financial status. Say glory to God. Yeah? Yes, and some of you got others because of your financial status. Again, say glory to God. So what are those things we are spending our money on? What draws you? Is it the quest for money? you will never have enough money. So the earlier you accept that and stop that crazy chase, the better. Men, your families, you're the breadwinners, you're the what, you provide for your families. Please, the quest for money. We don't sell. I was going to say don't give them that flash disc. Don't sell your life for money. Do not for the sake of your family. Eat what you have. The bread, drink water that is blessed of God. Don't take a sausage that is not blessed of God. Glory to God. Men. Again, yesterday we were talking to someone who is in this. We're talking about how this mental health awareness. Seems like there is a spirit about this thing. Everyone here, mental health. My mental health is being compromised. My mental health. You see, when we got out of COVID, my mental health. You're like, okay, this whole mental health matter, let's first talk about it. Children of God, you LAT people, I know mental health issues are real. I'm not saying that those things are not there. I know depression is real. But this is what will happen to you. If you, let me tell you, I gave this person the example of, and I'm going to give it to you here. You're a young girl, believe in God for marriage, and God gives you a husband. But that guy doesn't have so much money, okay? So definitely that means you're not going to have the pre-wedding shoot, then the after shoot, then which shoot, then all the shoots that are there. Probably your cake will not come walking, eh? Like how I see on walking on glacier, eh? You know that car walk? Hey man, nowadays people do things. You will not have those glittering crystal-like things coming and falling. You're just going to have a simple wedding. So right at there and then it starts working on you as a woman, as a lady. You're like, but anyway, mwagala, ira mukama, send us a dream, while we would not be, then you are, then you go through that period, while we would not be, so you walk on the prophetic word, you're like, God for me, Then you go for honeymoon, 3 months down the road, we hear, even come here in front of church, you testify, oh God, we are blessed. When pastor spoke the blessing, gave us the fruit of the womb of our what, you testify. LAT claps for you, Joanne says, we are growing. Children's church is growing. But now, before you know it, you're not going to have the baby shower, pre-baby shower shoot. Shoot what? Oh, I don't know the other things that they have, eh? Because your husband is saying, you know what? The money we have, my darling, let us save it for hospital bills. Let us save it to gulama tago mwana, yeah? For still these things of shoot, holding the what? Like really, eh? Like, ebi into, Then you're counting on your church friends to throw you a baby shower. Then you have a friend like Joanne. I will just show up at the hospital. She'll give you her money there, the blessing. Then she goes, no baby shower things. Because she doesn't know those things of calling ladies to shower a baby about what. Then you give birth. After giving birth, because first of all, you set up yourself before getting married, you had a certain Instagram has lied to you. There is a certain philosophy, that a thing that was not met then. So when you got pregnant, again, that thing is not satisfied. Yeah? And then when now you have a baby in the middle of breastfeeding, what, you haven't had all these things, you are the perfect candidate for postpartum depression. It will hit you because now you have hormones working on you. You have hormones just slicing you apart. Okay? So, I say now you find that person posting, oh, I went through postpartum depression. You tell us where it started from. It started even before you got married. Why? Because of the things that we look at. Yeah? This heavy, heavy into. Oh, if you have a loving husband, you put him under so much pressure, obsessive. Now why now you're in the shoot, you're about what? You guys. Look at our children here. We didn't have those things. Na ye and the children growing. Huh? Mazima, Andrew. Isn't Crystalite here? Eh? She's like this. No wedding shot. What? You know? But she's like this. That girl is well fed. Glory to God. Takula. Hmm? So don't let those things lie to you. That kind of pressure. All right? God has blessed you, but you are putting the wedding, you are putting the fruit of the womb above all these things. And you even forget to celebrate the goodness of God that is happening. And for you, you're just there. I want a wedding. I want a photo. What? I want. I'm like, where in the Bible are those things? What are you showing us that we haven't seen? What are you showing us? So, ladies, for me, when you invite me for the baby shower, I'm looking at Rachel. When you invite me, Rachel, I'll be there. I'll come. And Rachel, I love you and I love the baby. And I love Mr. Wamai there. So, let us keep things, hold these things loose. That is where your money is going. Mukakane, that's where your money is going. These things are very expensive. Unless you're going to wrap a sheet around yourself. But those dresses I see, they are very costly. These things take time to, you, instead of praying, you're there thinking, what can I show, these things, when you see them, people doing them, and you feed on them, before you know it, you who is here believing God for your husband, they are beginning to change, beginning to work on your mind. And when God blesses you, it's going to just be, Brian, why are you looking at your friend like that? So, let us hold the things of this earth so loosely. Watch what you spend your money on. These things are excesses. We are in a culture of excesses. It's not enough to have one car. You have to have two cars. It's enough to have two cars. You have to have three cars. It's enough to hold a baby to have the baby. You have to have the photo shoot. It's not enough to have your nice maternity dress that you put. You have to put on a certain dress about that is out. Like the excesses. Yet the blessing is not even those things. The blessing is not those things. Okay? So, and slowly these things take away your love for God. And before you know it, you will go wrapped in Instagram to hell. So another way you can see is, what are your desires and concerns like? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Sometimes you have needs. You have needs, you have ambitions, but your need can take the place of God. It has eaten you. It has eaten you and finished you. And these needs, by the way, there are people who will be very honest with you and they say that their needs are not of this earth. Even us spiritual people, let me tell you the truth, we have needs. Glory to God, Pastor. Yes, school fees must be paid. We need fuel, but now we need clothes. We are like you. Okay? So when we say that needs, I'm not talking about LAT church members. I'm talking about all of us. Yeah? You have a need, a desire. And guess what? That desire now starts to take up the place of God. It is what runs you. That need, that desire to accomplish it. And for you, that is the only thing. There are people who you sing, the man, a spouse, is a desire. And they would only go to church only and only if there's good hunting ground. Your church, LAT, then the person disappears. There's someone who even came and asked me that, do you really think that my spouse will come from LAT? I said, I don't know. I don't know if your spouse is going to come from LAT. Yeah, I think they had sat somewhere behind and assessed. And I said, then I see Dr. Mjimba comes here, split some dream, some vision of a lion in the cloud. And they're like, you're not there. Then you see Christine who comes and says what? Then you see Glory who is testifying about what God is doing in her family. Then you see another person coming and saying, please give. That person, for her mind, Bambi, was on getting a spouse. So, the desire so consumed her. she wasn't desiring God anymore. It was just that. And it's so possible for us to turn these desires, and they are not bad desires, by the way. So the quest for these desires becomes your life's purpose, your goal. I'll share with you something, yeah? The God gives us the desires of our hearts in the sense that he will give the desire that you have. He will give you that desire, okay? You can understand the scripture in that way. Oh, he just gives you what you desire. You say, God, I want a meal. He gives you a meal, all right? Now, I have seen in my life that when I am not overly concerned about my personal needs, whether God comes through and he just amazes me. He just amazes me. He shows me his goodness. When I'm not so concerned about my personal needs, when I don't put them before him, when my personal needs do not take up a time for fellowship, because let me tell you, a need can be so bad. And I know that it can be so deep, it can be bad. It could be a good need like healing. You want healing, yeah, for someone else. That's a very noble need. You want them healed. You want to see them restored. It's a very noble need. But that your relationship with the Father can't just be about that need. So I've seen that in times when I just say, God, this, I'm turning this over to you. Just take it. Just take it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. God comes and shows up in a mighty and powerful way. So, Matthew 6:31-33, that verse that tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, Gentiles seek. After these things, people who are not born again run after these things that we desire, the needs. Is it okay to be concerned about what you will eat? Yes, you need to get food. You need to get something to drink, as in basic needs, necessities in life, okay? But the Bible doesn't tell us to seek them. The only thing the Bible tells us to seek is God. When you start to make it your life mandate to seek how to fulfill the dreams and those desires, let me tell you something. You will end up in problems. I know someone who in my opinion, I've never really shared it with people, but in my opinion, I think they had too much of this person fell from grace. They are now running a cult and all those things. But I think for me, I think their desire to grow in the prophetic, their desire for heavenly experiences and those extra, the supernatural experiences, exposed them to spirits that are not of God. And this person, now when they got that, those spirits that are not of God came to them and started now speaking to them. This person mistook them to be God, and now they are running a cult that is really just a cult that is of the spirits of the devil are feeding this person, and their fellowship is growing, and it continues to grow. Why? Because this guy stopped seeking God. He stopped seeking God. At least I know that that is one of the things. Besides, of course, they're going to be a saint and what, but this person stopped seeking God, and they were just running after the gift. And maybe they enjoyed the gift not for what it was doing for the congregation, but for what the gift was giving them on a personal level. It was giving them visibility. They were not visible. But now, man, you prophesy, you do what? You broadcasted, you what? So you, like, the things that you seek, the things that this person was seeking, yes, on the surface, they will tell you, for me, I've gone to seek God in such and such a place. And you're like, wow, that is a good thing. But they are seeking with a motive to get things to give to the congregation so that they can be broadcasted. Not seeking to glorify Jesus, but seeking that balaba that even in the gift, waliwo ango jafuniramu. All right? And so it is the same with our desires. The thing that you desire, why do you desire it? Why do you desire it? Banage, if you don't have a spiritual reason, be honest with God. Sends them, come. I just saying it looks good. Don't be there saying, ah, God, when you give it to me, I'll take the gospel to, when you give me money, I'll take the gospel to the ends. Leka kulimba. Ask yourself, why do I like money? I like money because I want X, Y, Z, and when I get it, I'll be happy. Don't lie to God, okay? There are people who tell, people who say, you know, I have this desire. You know, for us, you hear so many things, to take the gospel to the nations. So, money, I even had a dream when God, and you look at that person, and you're like, hey, okay. You start to do things, not to glorify God, but because while there is something that you're gaining from that. So you're the end in its, in, you're the end of that matter. So God tells us that we should not run after these things. We shouldn't run after these things. 33. My Heavenly Father knows what you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. Do you have needs? Yes. Are the needs real? Yes. Should you bring them before God? Yes. But you should never, ever put your need in the sight of God that it takes his place. Hallelujah. Amen. So I really hope that we are blessed. As we are in this season of, as we are in this season of blessings and what, let not that blessing be your demise. Like, let not that blessing be your downfall. All right? Have it, hold it, but even then, hold it loosely. Loosely. Okay? Thank God for it, but hold it loosely. There's the greater thing in our hearts, the greater thing that we are called to as Christians is fellowship with God. It is fellowship with the Father, okay? Not the blessing, all right? Not the blessing. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.